Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me by myself, but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you are now joining a family of musicians from across thousands of miles. Welcome home. Welcome to our Friday night gathering where we get together, lob insults playfully, and read each other poetry, which is probably one of the best ways to spend Friday evening. I wouldn't have said that years ago, but since we've been doing this for almost 5 years now I feel, you know, I feel like this is the way it's supposed to be spent. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm here in the studio with my co-host and the sound engineer and producer of the show, Mr. JT Gunter. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Doing very, very well.
Good.
What's going on this week, man? What have you been up to?
Not much. Actually relaxing after what I did last week, for the last couple of weeks. Nothing. Just, you know, still hunting. And
I think you're leaving out some stuff, that some progress we're making on a separate project.
Oh, well, definitely. Yeah. That's some great progress, and that was Wednesday evening.
Right.
So we're working on them.
And I'm not going to go into big time details because we want to get it done before we really do anything. But we've been working for over a year and a half.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years now on a fictional kind of podcast series that I think we're really, really proud of right now. And so we're about to head into like final production. We're back into redoing some things because we're trying to make this as good as possible.
Right.
And we'll be releasing it probably sometime next year, in the first part of the year, hopefully. But we'll see how it goes. Anyway, we're really excited. We've been making a lot of strides on that. And so that's something that I was happy about that this week, because everything else was falling to... it was falling apart. So I have a Romeo and Juliet performance was to come up next week.
Uh-huh.
And we had a bunch of people kind of having to be pulled out of it. And the 12th is the last day we could do it. And then it turns out the girl who decided to play Mercutio, which I've been trying to rename Mercutia, but she doesn't want to do that, was filming a squirrel for Snapchat. And ran into a tree and gave herself a concussion, which means she cannot do fencing scenes, which means she can't, she can't read and really rehearse her lines. So we thought, okay, well, we can't do it. So today we're in there. We start figuring out we're filming Romeo and Juliet. And so she's behind the camera because I figure I'll give her something to do. She's a little fuzzy, but she's back. And she gets frustrated and she throws her head back and cracks the back of her head on a door.
Are you kidding me?
Gives herself another concussion. I'm like, I swear to God, this girl needs a football helmet or something. It's ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Wrap the girl up and bubble wrap and
I know, right?
Keep her at home where she can just bounce on the wall or bed.
She needs to be in bubble wrap. I like that. She'd probably like that too. Yeah, exactly. Actually, I think we'd all like that.
Yeah,
that
it would be a little weird.
And I don't mean in an after dark way. I just mean bubble wrap would be pretty fun. Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, we got an After Dark segment, JT.
Yes, we
do. Are you psyched about this?
Totally.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be
so it'll excited.
Be cleanly announced, and it'll be after the return engagement.
Absolutely. So basically, for anybody who isn't familiar with it, which I'm pretty sure everybody listening is, After Dark is a kind of a once in a, generally it's once a month, but it's been a multiple months since we've done it. It's going to be basically after the main part of the show, we'll have a definitive, you know, stop in the main show.
Yep.
Then the After Dark segment will be where we can share kind of more, you know, blue poetry, more adult themes. We can explore that without really worrying about families listening. But we will give any families listening or anybody who doesn't want to be exposed to that stuff a very clear cutoff point so you don't have to listen to it. Okay.
And if you're listening to the download of the show, there's not a worry. It is defined as a separate file, so you don't even have to worry about After Dark bleeding in.
Yep. So we do our best to kind of keep it accessible, but also kind of make it, you know, so it's your choice if you hear it or not. So with that being said, let's get into the rules of the show. Number one, we don't do hate speech. And, you know, it's not that we can't go political on the show, because we definitely do. But there are some hot button issues that, you know, they get shouted at each other all the time.
Yep.
Even though it's not a rule, you know, please, you know, this is we don't want to give a political platform to anybody really on this show. However, stories of emotion, human stories, those things, absolutely. We get it. It's art. We're affected by the things that are happening out there. So we definitely don't censor any of that stuff. And then number two, we try to skew our language PG-13 because, like I said before, there might be families listening. However, we're also not in the censorship business. So if it's a piece of art, if it's something that is, you know, the words are being used with meaning, we'll probably let it go. If it starts getting really out there and too far forward, we reserve the right to be able to jump in and kind of say, hey, why don't you save this for an after dark segment in a few weeks. Other than that, those are our two rules. The way this is going to work, we're going to have a call-in segment. The first five callers who call in get a spot in the order that they called in. And then if you don't get it, we'll do another segment, and we'll have five more unique callers. Once that's done, we'll do a return engagement segment. Am I saying this right? Because it's been so long since we've done this.
So
tell me the way we do it.
Okay, so we'll do the two call-in segments.
Okay.
Segment one, the full five.
Yeah.
Segment two, full five, if we can get it.
Right.
And then a return engagement where it's a free-for-all.
Anybody can call back in.
Yep.
Yep.
And then we will, after that, then we will announce the end of the show and opening of the After Dark. Come back.
That's right.
And then open the lines for After Dark.
Okay, sounds perfect. And thank you for that, JT.
No problem.
It's been a little while. So here we go. First call-in segment, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. I need the first five. Give us a call.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome
to World Poetry Open Mic. Out of the dark, JT, out of the dark sludge that was the results of the bleeding angels that were kicked out of heaven.
Uh-huh.
When they were yelling Mikael, who was like God, and, you know, kicking him out. This demon formed. And it literally had a physical form.
Okay.
And started wreaking havoc on certain parts of the world until, through an exorcism, it was pushed down and lay dormant. But this is a very powerful and crafty demon. So about 10 years ago, it started working its way back into the consciousness, but now it was spread out. And so now it becomes an obsession every year around this time. I'm talking, of course, about the demonic spirit that has possessed every cup of pumpkin spice latte that is sold around this time of year. I saw at the Starbucks on the way here, happy birthday, PSL. I'm like, PSL? Presbyterian St. Luke? The hospital?
Yes,
really?
Yes.
The thing that saves people's lives? No, it's a pumpkin spice latte. And then they were advertising, hey, we have pumpkin spice whipped cream to put on top of a pumpkin spice latte. Yep. And I thought, you people are insane.
Yes, they are.
What's the deal? You love it that much.
I'm actually just a fall fan, and I have been.
You just like fall.
I love the season.
Yeah.
And typically that means it's a crisp, cool weather.
Yeah, right? Sure. I like it.
The colors start to turn. Mm-hmm. It ushers in for me the Halloween, you know, and then into Thanksgiving where
a vast amount of romantic relationships for me started in the fall.
Yeah. And then just food and pie and bread.
Wait, it's about the pie for you?
Man, I'm telling you.
It's all about the pie for
pumpkin
you.
Pumpkin pie.
You know, okay, fair enough. That's some pretty serious stuff, man.
I can eat a whole one by myself.
You know,
you've seen it.
That's okay. That's all right. I don't judge that. I think that's actually it's a sign of lust for life, you know.
So yeah, when Starbucks did the pumpkin spice latte the first time, and I finally got to try one, I was like, "Ooh, that's super sweet. I wonder if there's a way that they can lessen the sweetness." And I'm just like, "Oh, cut more of the milk out by adding more coffee into it." And honestly, that's my best bet. I have to go quad shot.
Okay, tell them what your drink is, because this
I do a quad venti pumpkin spice latte when they're in season, and that's a 4 shots of espresso, and then the rest pumpkin spice latte.
And I get a black coffee.
You sure do.
All right, that's okay though. I also get a bottle of water though, so that kind of roofs it up a little bit. Okay, so before we get into the segment, we have some great poets lined up. Two orders of business I got to handle.
Okay.
First one.
Yes.
It's October, man.
It is October.
Man. See, do you hear the reference? That's good. Okay, anyway. So that means we have a new poet of the month.
We do.
That's right. And so that means I'm going to have to throw down some facts in the form of some clues at the end of this segment. But firstly, whoosh, I almost threw this across the room. I'm going to read
have
a
been
submission.
The first.
You just by looking at the front of the phone, you can tell.
Oh yeah,
it's like this is a man who gets angry at his phone. All right, that's totally not on purpose. This is a submission from Mr. Nadwan Rosetta in Kirkuk, Iraq. This is from this is sonnet. I don't even know. Homme de Liberté, Man of Liberty, from Nadwan Rosetta. Here we go. Free words should never left to die, as we had enough chains for now, as we had been breathing sorrow in every sigh, and many are going to protest and say how. When a man is not allowed to decry, when he cannot pass his grade because he didn't lie, nor he showed his conscience as a stock to buy, as he was not amongst those bootlickers who vanish. Every single corrupted man of authority, with no shame, honor, or chastity, as they have the common sense of inferiority, as ignorant slaves see their shackles as jewelry. So freedom in their eyes is a mere robbery, as there is no comfort in them in the shade of liberty. That was written on the 10th of October, or I'm sorry, the 2nd of October, 2017, 8:41 p.m. The postscript is for my friend Mohammed Ismat Avicii, who was temporarily fired from his Kirkuk Medicine College just for criticizing the dean.
Wow.
And very nice, Nadwan. Good job. Un momento. And I'm back. Okay. Sorry. I got this thing going. I got a nose.
Yes.
The size of Antarctica.
It's weird. It arrives and then on time, but you're always like 15 minutes late. It's weird.
I think with a part of my body, and it's not my brain.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's kind of my nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you lead with it, though.
Yeah. You know, I don't really have a choice. I find if I back into a room where he's like, oh, this guy's cool, and then when I turn around, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like Star Trek in here. Let's go to our first poet. Let's go all the way to the UK to kick this off in style. Let's go with Titus. Good morning. How are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Very good. I'm caller number one, I understand.
You are.
It's a nerve-wracking experience for me because I have to anticipate your speech because when you're talking, I have to turn over, turn your volume down 30 seconds before you finish.
Oh, yes, fair enough. I think what I should probably do is do a better job of kind of triggering that, you know. But think of this as a field of virgin snow, Titus, and you're able to be the first to traipse across it.
Number one anytime.
Exactly.
I don't mind being number two. Yeah. Well, this poem's short and sweet. It's called Love's Equilibrium, Faith's Joy. I wrote it yesterday. I'm getting a bit stale with my poetry at the moment. I'm lacking thought, I think, but this one seemed to turn out okay. Love's Equilibrium, Faith's Joy. Faith. It's safe to say forever in my heart, rekindled joy will designate the order in which reply can share. I, as hoarder, have loved until perhaps no more the part. Romance, it seems, the scenes of where we've been conceived by prayer, through love as it endears whilst loving you the most, would have me seen forgetting where my faith was, since my fears of losing you brings me closer to God, following perhaps what's more, we are both true to life, giving a conscience gain the prod, aids us to discover faith with this betroth. Beyond wonder, our reckonings transcend faith's eulogy, love's light, that is. The end. And that's it.
Lovely.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, it's very short and sweet, especially for you, but that was lovely, man. Thank you.
Yes. Welcome. Thank you.
All right.
No problem.
Bye. All right, we'll talk to you a bit later, hopefully.
Okay. Thanks.
And that was Titus kicking us off, calling in from UK. The UK, not just a UK. The UK.
Just calling us from UK.
The ones who didn't have to be savages to unseat royalty.
That's right.
You know? We'll give you your big house and some people with furry hats who are actually really serious and will guard you and will do a great job.
They are incredible.
They are, aren't they?
They really are. Being over there and seeing the guard, you're like, all right.
It's like, I see the palace. Yes, it's beautiful. I don't know if I'd want to live there. The guards? I want the guards.
You know which ones I really want, though?
The Popes?
The Beef Eaters.
Oh, I thought you wanted the Swiss Guards.
No, the Beef Eaters. Those guys are... And the women. They are just...
Wait, the Beef Eater women?
Yes.
Okay, I got to look this up.
You got to look it up, man.
Okay, I'm going to look it up during
incredible.
The next poet. The Beef Eater women. They're like... Are they like dwarves where it's the same...
Nope.
Nope.
No. It is totally a thing in the... Tower of London.
Beef Eaters.
The Beef Eaters.
Okay.
They're the guards.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
It's really cool.
All right. Cool. Hey.
Yes.
Hey. Let's go to Lausanne in British Columbia. Let's stop this messing around. Lausanne, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. What's been new?
Well, my book is launched on Tuesday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
My book, Counting Waves, yes.
That's great. So how big of a launch do you think this is going to be? Have you been preparing for it?
I have been preparing for it on social media, on Twitter, and all over the place. We have about average of probably 50 people that showed up.
Oh, great.
And before even the launch, I sold nearly 20 books on the day of the event.
That's great.
You, but I sold quite a lot of books. I am really thrilled, and one book is heading your way as we speak, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'll make sure to watch my head when I walk outside.
I threw it straight from Vancouver. It's easier than awesome. Gravity, throwing it south, right?
Hey, that's
right. That's the way it's
I'm pretty sure
work,
that's
right?
How science works, Lausanne.
Yeah. You look at it just falls down, right? It just falls sideways.
It always ends up hitting me in the head.
It's amazing.
No, my gosh, yeah. No, I hope nobody got hurt making of my book, and nobody will get hurt.
Okay, well, we hope so.
My book is all about spreading peace.
Oh, that's very good. Although, Lausanne, I'm going to tell you a very short story because I want to get to your work, okay? But so years ago, I was married, and living in Colorado Springs, and I was reading a book by the founder of Aikido, Mori Hayashiba, called The Art of Peace. It's this little white book. It almost looks like a prayer missalette, right? And so I come home, and I think I'm alone. And I'm walking through the house, and I'm reading the book. And then right then, and she's now my ex-wife, but not because of this incident. Everything's fine. But she jumped out and kind of likes to say, boo. And I turn without thinking, close the book, and biff her on the nose with it because it wasn't because I thought it was her. It was because I thought it was someone else jumping out, and you could stun them by doing that first. But I have this vivid image of me with this book heading right at her face, and I can't stop my hand in time. And it says The Art of Peace, right? As it's going to torture. So what I'm telling you, Lozan, don't be so sure.
I know. When they talk about stuff that hurts people, I was like, you could use anything to hurt people.
That's so true. A cauliflower?
It's just a matter of choice.
Yeah, it's very true. It's all about how you use it, right?
Mm-hmm. So speaking of how using it, for me, I'm thinking how to use it and how to also how to use what we've got.
Yes.
For me, my poem is about a future generation.
Wonderful.
You guys are aware of the saying that says it takes a village to raise a child, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So when we were, for me, I wrote this poem after an incident and an image I saw online. But the incident of one of the refugee children told me he wanted to know what the F blank blank U means. And he pronounced it in such a funny way. He said somebody yelled in the street at him and his mother, ew, they you, right? And he says, Auntie Lausanne, what does that word mean? And he's just a little, I think it was 8-year-old. And he remembered that word exactly, but pronounced it. So for me, I'm thinking, those refugees here in Canada, we are the village now. And what do you want these children to learn? So from my poem is like, my poem in this book is called, I Won't Be a Child for Long. So I'd like to share it with you now.
Sounds great.
I won't be a child for long. Instill peace in me. Don't wait until I'm caught in the crossfire, not knowing which side am I on. Instill love in me. Don't wait until I'm all alone and in pain, not knowing why I exist. Instill compassion in me. Don't wait until I harm others, not knowing what empathy means. Instill tolerance, acceptance, and fairness in me. Teach me how. Don't wait until others teach me to hate and harden my heart. Teach me so I can see light even when I find myself in the saddest, loneliest, darkest place on earth. Teach me now before it's too late, because I won't be a child for long. If you want to change the destiny of my generation, you need to lay the foundation first. And once you do, I can and I will make peace in my land a reality, not just a distant dream and a story we talk about. So shape and mold me into what you want this world to become. End poem. Thank you.
That's a very a powerful piece, and I think a really important kind of message to really consider. There's so much. It's interesting. I think we're in many respects we're coming to as a society. We're kind of finding things that don't make much sense anymore. And I think hopefully we're going to start finding some interesting solutions. And it'll be interesting to see who proposes them and how they come across. But I think we're all kind of realizing now that there's some big things that need to change.
And each one of us, we don't think much of our actions and our words and our behavior can influence. You never know. I even heard a story of someone who was so depressed, was about to go home and actually end his life. And one person out of the thousands of people coming out of the subway, that happened in New York, I believe, smiled at him and said, hello, smiled at him, contact eyes, and that's it. And that person said, because someone acknowledged me, I changed my mind, and then he turned his life around. So we need to think about it. Also start with us. We can each of us do one little thing, and that's how we can change it. That's how I believe. I believe we can bring peace.
I agree. I mean, that's why I sit outside of bus stops and do my best Gilbert Godfrey impersonation. Is just really to try to cheer people up. You know, nothing cheers people up more than, you know, I can just kind of start doing the whole Jaffa, what are you doing? You know, I mean, using that voice seems to really change. I'm just totally playing around with you, Lozan. You can totally laugh at me right now. I'm not being serious.
I believe it honestly. Laughter, just we there's something in common with everybody we find on the planet when we have a smile or laughter or even joke. It's whatever it takes. You know, it's beautiful. But for me, my theme is the children that move from one place to another because of war.
Oh,
when they come to our land, we are the village. That's it.
Right.
We cannot fight them anymore. We are the village. And we need to do something about these people because it could happen to us. You never know. So that's my piece.
I think you're right, and we have a responsibility. I mean, you got to start thinking about the kind of future you want to see, and then you got to take responsibility.
Yeah. So when the child asks you a question, I can't tell them, "Oh, there's just one bad guy." I just have to tell them what it means, and I tell them why people use it and how we use it. And then some people there are some angry people out there, but don't worry because a lot of loving people in Canada. That are comedy, they were loving because we want peace. That's why you're here. So we need to spread the message of peace because, you know, we don't want to show our anger towards someone who's innocent and have nothing to do with it,
absolutely.
Right? That's why I think of it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me. I can chat with you forever, but hey, let's see if I can go to the next segment for you.
All right. Thank you, Lozan.
Awesome. Thank you.
Wow. Great. Strong stuff. Yeah.
But it's very true. It does take a village. As it should.
You think so?
I think so. I think we should be an example that others should look at or could look at.
Okay. So is it kind of like the idea of I understand what as far as modeling, but it's kind of like, have you ever heard of the concept of live your life as if your actions are going to be published on the front of the newspaper tomorrow?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That
I don't know.
That's tough, but you know what? It's not a horrible thing.
I think it's an anecdote. I don't really know anybody who completely can live up to that all the time. I think it's more of like an aspirational phrase.
It might be, yeah.
But you know, I think if my stuff was published on the front of the newspaper, it'd be pretty boring. He got up, he did the same thing he did every morning. Like, you know. He walked into a wall. And then try to blame it on someone else, which was weird. Anyway, let's go to Stan in Alabama. I can't think of another great person to bring up here more than Stan. He's perfect for it. Stan, how you doing?
Good evening.
Wonderful.
It's that time. It's coming around again.
That's right. I'm already going hardcore in Halloween in my classroom.
Oh, I heard that.
Although that's every year. That's all the time.
Yeah. Couldn't help it. Had to do that poor man's Renfield.
That's the only Renfield I'm aware of.
That and Artie Johnson, he did a hell of a job at Love at First Bite.
It's true. And then who else did, was it Tom Waits? Didn't Tom Waits do Renfield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Dracula?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. But yours is pretty good, too. Yeah. I didn't mean to bring up Tom Waits. You know, I think yours was pretty solid.
Hey, nothing wrong with Tom Waits. You can
no,
bring him up.
Not a damn thing wrong with Tom Waits.
Right. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm number three. That's great. Titus is first. Beautiful romantic poem.
Oh,
Lozan.
Yeah.
And here I come, bringing Halloween.
That's okay.
Hey. I think this is a spice of life. That's what we want.
Well, here it comes to you.
All right.
I had to title it this because there are other ones out there. This is Madman Stan's Boogeyman's Boogie. It's Halloween night. The sun is going down. Streetlights and neon lighten up the town. But way back in the dark, where the living fear to stray, the ghouls and the dead want to rock the night away, doing the Boogeyman's Boogie. Doing the Boogeyman's Boogie. They do the boogeyman's boogie, boogie till the break of day. toads croaking out the rhythm, the crickets do the same. Smoke riffs. Smoking riffs are flying off from the demon's hands of flame. Up from the bog comes the bopping leader of the band, catching a groove while swinging moss. Yeah, it's the Boogie Woogie Man, playing that boogeyman's boogie. Doing the boogeyman's boogie. Doing the boogeyman's boogie. Boogie till the break of day. Bog beasts, ghosts, and goblins? No, they ain't nobody's fool. Do their dancing in the swamp where the air is damp and cool. Witches, werewolves, and vamps all start to get rocking while skeleton bones click and clack while they're a-knocking. Now the zombies step it up, not to be outdone. Sure, they still have some moves and know how to have some fun. Got those dead booties bumping, stomping on them rotten feet, till their asses flew off, but kept right on bouncing to the beat of the boogeyman's boogie. Doing the boogeyman's boogie. They do the boogeyman's boogie, boogie till the break of day. Now the mummy danced so hard, their raps damn done, but the party had to end with the rising of the sun. But come back next Halloween, when there's darkness all around, the night folk will join the party, dancing, howling, getting down, and do the boogeyman's boogie. They rock the boogeyman's boogie. Do the boogeyman's boogie, and boogie till the break of day. End.
I loved that one, man. That was great.
That was really good. I like that.
Well, I thought that would be some fun for the upcoming season.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, man. You know, it's funny. One part of that reminded me of something that's kept coming up in my head. Have you ever seen the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yes.
Yeah. Big Marge.
Large Marge.
Large Marge.
Large
scared
Marge,
the
yes.
hell out of me
Dropping
as a kid.
Him off at the diner.
Yeah.
Ghost Trucker.
I don't know why that yep. made me think of it, but it totally did, and I think that was great.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Would that make Marge a mother trucker?
She's totally a mother trucker. You think about it. Probably was part of the joke when they wrote it,
probably.
To be fair. Knowing no, that show.
I would not doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't okay. doubt it.
Hey, Stan, that was awesome. Thanks so much.
And thank you.
You got it, man. You got it. Anytime, we can give you a platform.
All right, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later. And that was... I looked out at Dennis's name.
No.
Woo! That was Stan calling from Alabama, obviously. All right, now we're going to fly up to the Mitton State and visit with Dennis. Dennis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. It's Friday night.
It is. It's so strange to have you at number four. What's going on here?
I think I slipped down the ladder a little bit. A couple rungs broke underneath me. I must be eating too heavy. I'm going to have to get on a diet or something.
In retirement, it's happening. I understand. Yeah. Anyway, you had a good week?
Oh, I always have a good week. Life is good.
Good.
Happy to hear that. Happy to hear that. Well, what do you have for us this time?
Well, Lozanne with her reading really touched me. I was going to read a different poem, but I decided to turn to this one. She is so inspiring, and we just need to hear what she's saying and acknowledge it and strive towards it. So I'd like to read this poem for tonight. The title is, If We'd Only Believe. Beyond the artificial divisions and boundaries of our cultural and traditional differences, there is a common need for mankind, universal in scope and benefit, that which separates the barbarian from the enlightened. The need for tolerance and peace, an elusive yet obtainable goal when we all unite and make it so. End of poem.
It's a wonderful piece.
Well, thank you. It's a needed message, and we need to continue that dialogue, a dialogue of unity and not division.
Absolutely.
Yes. Amen.
Completely agree. And thank you for the read and for everything, Dennis. That was great.
I sure appreciate Lausanne and how she inspires the vision. And she is very appreciated. And with that, I'm going to step aside and let the next readers step up. I'm going to say God bless.
God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
Jinx.
I know.
Always, man.
It's so weird.
How do we do that?
Well, almost 5 years of doing the...
It's almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Almost every Friday night. Hey, guys, we're almost five.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Now, we have another... What? It's the end of November. So yeah. we're not quite there.
Right.
But it's happening, and we're going to be here, and we're going to turn five, and we're going to keep going. You know, the one thing I figured, maybe the distinction we're going to get for being a poetry show at the very end is that we've just stuck around longer than everybody else.
It's very possible.
Everybody else has given up or died.
Yeah,
and,
very possible.
And we're still here. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. This is Michael's disembodied head.
We'll be in jars.
We'll be in jars. We'll be like cool. Statler and Waldorf. it's the grandchild of Philip.
Yeah,
he has the. You know, it's funny. You see some kids, and they have the same facial features as their parents or grandparents. In this case, he bears no resemblance to Philip, except for his penchant for long titles. You know, we'll be doing stuff like that.
That'll be good stuff.
Something to look forward to. In the next 50 years of World Poetry Open Mic. In the meantime, let's go to Mary in Arizona.
No resemblance to Philip.
Hello, Mary.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, there's a little... I'm not in England, but there's a little backlash. And
yeah. Oh,
hello.
There's
hello.
A delay.
I'm waking. I'm waking now.
Okay. All right.
You're fine.
I'm gonna count to three, and then we'll be on, okay? One...
Okay.
Two, three. Ha! You're on. Okay.
Here I am.
All right. How you doing, Mary?
Oh, I'm fine, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Thank you.
Oh, I you know, when Tom Waits was mentioned, that made me so happy because I was deciding between a song by him first or a poem by me. And so I went with the poem by me, saving the song by him. Or maybe the second, and then God knows what's going to happen at that.
All
never
right.
Mind about the after garden right now. I got to compose myself. Here we go.
Okay.
Thoughts from within one day in autumn. My brightest stellar quartz, cellular and burst. Uh-huh. They are when I think of you. My highest hoverings and traverses on tightrope, still with you. Unlabeled, sometimes rugged travels where honesty isn't traded for favors and friendships are never lost in transition. Already we've the necessary precursors together or apart. They just readied us after all that. For better states, where souls are never discarded and beauty lies within our raw and open hearts, now melded together in places where life's touches can never be unfelt. Where do summaries lie? At the end of journeys? Or partially and momentarily in fog or snow or the hottest sun? Even where growth is measured in modicums and invented. Temperance light scales, honest minor chords of accomplishments, one heartbeat at a time. End poem.
Very, very nice. It's a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Mary. I bow. I curtsy. I get my skirt and pants on, and let's go to the next one. Come on.
Hey, you know, you got to stop trying to copy my stage act. I do exactly all those same things after I read a poem.
The top hat, I'm flipping the tip, the scales. We don't know where we're going from here. You're don't know.
Tipping the top hat and putting on the scales and everything. I get it.
putting on all that stuff.
I'm pulling a rabbit out of my charisma. All right. Mary, thank you.
Oh, out of that. Oh, and purple, and then the colors start coming. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's the all right. I've always said this, Mary. I'm Italian.
Oh, I gotta hang up now.
All right, hang up. Get out of here. Hang up. Thank you, Mary. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. The thing I was going to say is,
yes,
I'm half Italian. I'm half Irish.
Yes.
So the way I see it, I'm Italian enough to create pretty intense, passionate art.
Yeah.
The Irish part of me, let's be honest, the Italians, they had some poets. Some.
Yeah.
You know, and some pretty big ones, but they had larger artists and composers and things like that. Now, the Irish had some pretty solid composers and everything, but the poets, man, woo, you know, Irish poets are really something. So the way I've always seen it is the Italian in me allows me to create passionate, intense art. The Irish gives me the gift of BS to be able to sell it.
All right.
All right. Now, we're here at the end of the segment, but before I do anything else, before we go to a second segment, I'm going to give you three clues to the October 2017 Poet of the Month, okay? JT, get ready?
I'm ready.
Now, if you think you know who this is, send us a message, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or, you know, you can go to it on the Facebook page. Don't say it in the chat room. Don't be.
Private message it.
I'm not going to read it there. Don't try to ruin it for someone else.
Private message it.
Private message. Exactly. One way or another. Even smoke signals, as long as I'm the only one who can see them. But not in my house. That was weird last time.
Okay, I'll try not to.
All right. Here we go. Clue number one. The master of all he surveys. Clue number two, love professed by a celestial body. No, I'm not talking about Kanye West.
Okay.
And three, musical cutlery. And those are your three clues for October 2017 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Next week, we'll have three more clues. And then the week after, I shall reveal.
All right.
Now let's get ready for the second segment. We need five more unique callers. So if you've not called in yet and you want to, now is your chance. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. Not when you call World Poetry Open Mic. The weird thing is, we don't even know where that laugh came from.
Nope, that was a really... I didn't even hear it outside of the headphones.
Yeah. Yeah, it was strange.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. This is the time of year where I'm going to start telling stories that freak out all the kids at school.
Awesome.
As a pastime, I started with things like, once there was a guy, they're like, yeah, who died. No!
Did you see the picture from the Stanley Hotel?
No.
There's a new one where somebody was caught on the stairs.
Oh, good.
Yeah. A little girl.
All right.
Not part of the party.
Is she dressed in a white nightgown?
Yeah.
Bunch of crap.
It's fine.
I call crap.
That's fine.
Every time someone goes with the trope from The Exorcist, I call crap. Every time. It's always a little girl in a white nightgown. Always.
Okay.
Always.
No, I'm fine. I just...
Maybe I'm just upset that Ghost might be unoriginal. That's a thing. I don't care if you're undead. I don't care if you're the energy of a dead person moving through
just
the paper.
If they're
whatever.
Not
just be original, man.
You know what? Maybe it's a thing that all the ghosts
Yeah.
Stopped being modern.
Well,
they're always these like from the 20s and earlier.
I know. I think the thing is not every little girl dies wearing a damn white you know, it's just like every movie that dealt with that pumpkin spice latte demon that kept possessing everybody. By the way, that was the one in The Exorcist.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure. That's where it went next. Was Starbucks.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
See what's happening? I can tell your love of the thing. You're rejecting it right now.
I do. I want to reject this, but you can't, man.
Don't reject it. Reject, you know, admitting you have a problem is the first thing.
That is the first step.
It's the first step. Okay, so every film has remotely dealt with demonic possession afterwards. They all had the same cuts on the face. That's not what happened. It's not what happened with the... Tropes, man. Tropes. It's like film karaoke. Drives me crazy.
Do you have a submission, by the way?
Yes. Would you like me to read it?
I would love for you to read it.
Speaking of karaoke.
I don't know. The Exorcist still freaks me out.
Oh, you know what, man? Catholic boy.
I'm not. I understand from me, it always has.
Well, and maybe one day I'll truly get into this, but there was a time where I was going to become a priest.
That's true.
Which is kind of funny.
I remember that, yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But there was a time, and actually my goal was to become an exorcist.
Oh, you would have been working with one of my friends.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
That's what he does.
So then I had the interesting... I had a lot of interesting experiences surrounding that, but one of the ones that I had was going to visit a retirement home for older priests, and there were four guys there who had been exorcists, and they were in their 40s, but looked just decimated. I mean, the life force was just kind of pushed out of them, and they were just really worn down, and I kind of thought, ooh, there's something there that I don't know if I want to get into. So, yeah, and it was more about facing fear and pushing through it for me. But at the same time, I think I'm probably moving better directions than that. Hey, let's go to Barbara as soon as I read this submission.
Thank you.
Mine's everywhere. I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry, man.
It's okay.
Actually, you know what? I don't know if I have one. I thought I had one, and it's one I've already read.
Oh, well then, we will go to Barbara.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm going to dig through, because email gets kind of strange how it comes together, so I'm going to keep looking as we're going through the segment.
Okay.
If I find something, I might take it at the end.
That's
exactly.
Fine. No problem.
But in the meantime, let's get ready to head to Barbara in Connecticut.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I have a really strange...
Hey, Barbara, how are you? You might want to turn down your computer. We're getting ghosts of Christmas past coming through the phone.
I know. I turned off my sound and it's still going.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Hold on.
I know. I turned off my sound and it's still going.
Oh, okay.
Now wait for it to happen again and recur.
Oh, this is really weird.
Yeah, well, see, that's, well, I mean, you know, it sounds like it's getting a little bit better, actually.
Yeah, well, see, that's, well, I mean.
No, maybe not. That's okay.
It sounds like it's getting a little bit better, actually.
So you're on your phone, right, Barbara?
No, I'm not on that phone. I'm turning off the fan completely.
Oh, okay.
On that phone. But unfortunately, on my, so weird. On my computer, it did not want to come on. The sound did not want to come on at all.
Hmm. Okay.
It was very, very strange. Very strange. And I wondered what was going on because it just would not go on. It was like, just really creepy. So I tried my iPad. And it didn't go on. So.
Huh. Is your computer also Apple?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I can't give you the PC solution.
No, it's Apple. Yeah. So I just, I don't know quite what to do except to just, you know, that's why I took my phone in, because the only thing that will work is my phone.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing, and now I can't seem to find the poem I wanted to read, so I'm going to have to read it from the garden.
Okay.
I'm going to have to peek into the garden and read my poem from the garden. But anyway, it's been like a strange week. I will just say that.
Yeah.
This being the strangest thing that's happened this week, when not only my computer won't work, but my iPad won't work for sound. And, you know, I tried everything. I even tried restarting it, but it didn't work. So I'm chatting on the computer and listening on my phone. So technology.
Barbara, I think you just hit on a whole new podcast. It could just be you talking about technology, called Technology.
Yes, I could do that. I could do that on my radio show, which, if you listen to it, was also kind of really big this week, last week. Did you listen?
Nope. Did you have that talking parrot on?
No. I had Gary Gregory on.
Oh, cool.
And he has written an anthology. And we had several people from the anthology call in. And my friend Mickey called in also, because she was supposed to be on the month before, and she has health issues. So, plus, she was supposed to be on the August show, but then turns out she has health issues. So she was supposed to be on the September show, but she called in anyway because she figured she'd try. And so it was a really wild show. I had about 7 people calling in.
Well, that sounds wild.
Yeah, it was kind of wild. Anyway, I'm going to read the poem that I wrote for this week for the garden. It's called The prompts were spectral and skeletal. And there was an interesting painting by Rob Gonsalves, in which a man and a woman are separated in a room where there's lots of open windows, and there are books everywhere. And some of the staircases to the windows are books. And they're both holding books in their hand. And my poem is called Finding a Way Through the Words to the Core of Your Heart. The scene reminds me of so many endless days when we spent the time navigating through the abyss of words that floated from our mouths and lay in the air like spectral visions no longer familiar to us, as if the words had reformed and become more or less than our original thoughts. The sheer volume of words overwhelming us both until it seemed there was no way to find each other, as if we were lost in our own Alice in Wonderland tears, an ocean of words we had said to each other, moving each of us toward the opposite sides of the room. Realizing this had happened, instead of finding a way to erase the flow of senseless gibberish falling from our mouths from one to the other, we continued on a seemingly endless voyage to the end of our sanity, as we each examined in minute detail the original sin of the other, and in the process our hearts tore apart and became skeletal remnants of themselves, peeling from without until they were exposed and sat like open sores. And we continued as they peeled slowly apart, revealing the inner core, only the bare beating pulse of each heart, a remnant of the joy-filled times so long ago, we barely remembered them. We stopped for a while and found we had written myriad books with our scathing words, and they had piled up in neat stacks a library of pain to be dissected by each of us. The struggle to meet each other began as the words became a barrier to the truth. You seemed uninterested in my understanding of your pain, but I knew this not to be the truth, for you skimmed through the nearest volume to find a way to end this struggle with words and with actions and a way to erase these volumes of anger that had suddenly sprouted in our path. You turned away, and I browsed again another one, searching for the words, until the thought arrived unbidden into my head of an easy solution. We could burn these books of anger by a simple action. I strode toward you, stepping on those tomes, almost tripping, and then you turned and smiled at me. My arms reached out as yours did the same. At that instant, a sudden flame began and soon ignited all of the many reams of words in the room. Our hearts began to piece themselves back together as the words flew in clouds of ash into the air, and magically disappeared as your arms enfolded me in a warm embrace and our lips met. The flames rebuilt our hearts with flickers of love. End poem.
That was a really nice piece. It was great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful. JT, what'd you
think?
I liked it. It was very enjoyable.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Now, I know you have something for After Dark as well, right?
I did. I wrote a poem for After Dark. Yes,
all right.
I did.
Very cool. 99%
you know,
of my problems.
Try to, yeah. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll just give you another, you know, answer.
That's what I need. I need more answers from the After Dark segment. How does this stuff work, everybody?
All right. I don't know. I don't know life. I just wing it all the time. Right.
I think that is
sometimes people like it and some people don't.
I think that, you know, that's, there's a lot to that actually. I think you're kind of onto something. Anyway, Barbara, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Take care.
All right, take
I'll
care.
Talk to you later, guys.
Talk
Return
to you
engagement.
Soon. Okay.
Bye.
Sounds good. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. A nice 9 minute and 30 second sojourn into her writing.
Let's see.
Into her life.
And there.
And I really do think that a technology podcast called Technology, and it's literally just sitting there. You have people call in and complaining about their tech. I'd call into that show because I complain about all kinds of tech stuff. You know?
You know what that's called, right?
What?
It's called tech support.
Yeah, I know, but you turn it into a show because it would be funny. It's just people complaining about technology for the entire show.
It's called tech support. All you have to do is just record your calls to tech support.
Yeah, but see, that's not even the same because then you got this no fun guy on the other end like, please turn off your device. Please turn. You're actually trying to solve the problem. Don't try to solve the problem. Sometimes you just need to listen, man. Sometimes you just need to listen. You don't need to solve a problem.
I learned that being a
customer service reporter. I know you did.
just listen, and then you can go, okay, well, I can resolve this, or
yeah,
just can let you continue.
See? That makes sense. Okay. Right now, let's go to some place that makes all the sense in the world, the spinning vortex of poetic awesomeness that is Kentucky, wherever Philip is. Hello, Philip. How are you?
I'm standing beside Waldo. Saying
oh,
hi.
Wonderful. Oh, there you are.
Ah, now I see
there
it.
There I am.
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha, yes, indeed.
Exactly.
You guys sound in pretty good spirits tonight.
I think so. I think the opium that we consume before going... No, I'm totally kidding. Christine came walking downstairs into the studio, and she goes, smells like an opium den in here, because we have incense and, you know, stuff going.
Right, that's what I usually say. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Yeah.
Nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink. Yeah, very good.
Ignore the 19th century prostitutes in the corner. This is not an opium den.
Well, very good. Oh, it makes me happy. And I will get to it.
All right.
How about that?
Sounds great.
Get out of you guys' way and let the next poets get on there. The title, A Mime's One-Act Portrayal of Edvard Munch's The Scream. And here we go. Back then, renting a basement space furnished with his own left-bank extremism, portents of struggling young talent gazing through tragic faces, empty as their stomachs, lived on delusions and jug wine, tilted pinball machines lit up in darkened vacancies, pornographic employed gnomes de plume, scintillating vignettes stitched together in lurid paperbacks so much per word, obscene ventriloquists warming them up for spotlight nudity, and ineffectual comedians wishing they'd been nutted and dubbed, ladies and gentlemen, Lenny Bruce. Grotesque crime fiction feverishly scribbled against envisioned noir backdrops. Scenes borrowed or stolen outright from Fritz Lang, M, or any exemplar from the Dr. Mabuse trilogy. Novels abandoned in anonymity. Manuscripts eventually burned by outraged relatives or embarrassed spouses. Reveries in medias res, epics dreamt, partially written on typewriters that sounded like firearms, common among low-rent neighborhoods. Beggars of all, sunk so badly below poverty lines, we considered the Spartan trade-offs between monasteries and prisons. Impoverished characters all, gone ill up inside the skulls, far away, resonant hollows, these unoccupied hemispheres, doldrums, a foreboding nimbostratus echoes the lonesome head sans pathos. Criminals who insist they're artists, hoping we become what we imitate. Blurs barely recalled, hubris romanticized by enfants terribles, wanton to profane anything esteemed sacred. Long tracking shots from dopamine eyes, agog along absinthe green city streets, lit up floridly. Toulouse-Lautrec still invoked decades after dropping LSD and napalm. Then, once more as though one were sober, I'd resume with your aimless portrait, wild, untamed, hair, eyes, lips, and limbs, graceful hints of pointillism. A barefoot gal dallying among thorny, overgrown brambles, disturbing premature winter auguries with your untouched wonderment. Our personal dread speckled yellow in deep valleys, dandelion dotted before the onset of a quantum age. And it is, fellers.
Before the onset of a quantum age. Love
and
it,
onset
man.
Of a quantum age. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Oh, and, you know, I mean, I'm going to bore you. I'm sure you start sounding pedantic, but I think one of the things that was associated with Munch's famous painting is the industrial age, and I think mm-hmm. we're already kind of in the quantum age, but
yeah, I agree.
I'm sure
I would
that's
agree.
Up for debate. Yeah, especially with the onset of actually quantum computers. They're out there, but not to the home unless you're very wealthy.
Not yet.
That is the entire end game of this show, Philip.
What, AI or what?
No, this is just the this is a real long game. We're like, how do we create the world's most powerful AI? I know. Start an internet poetry radio show.
There you go. Yes, very much so. Which I'm so delighted to be a part of, and I hope you guys keep going as long as you can. And it really is. It's a delight. Every night that I come here, it's always different, and it's always great to have new and familiar voices on here, and it's a really great platform. And you are my favorite of all the radio shows I've read on, which is, that sounds like I've read on so many. Of all the three shows I've read on, you guys are my favorite.
Not only that, I bet you we could take the other host in a fight, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Philip, you're awesome.
My dad's tougher than your dad. Right, that kind of stuff. Gotcha.
I actually all hear right, that Philip. Stuff yes, every sir. Week, by the way, Philip.
I bet, right? Yeah. All right. You made me blush, and cheers to you both.
Yeah, you're awesome,
thank
Philip.
You,
thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank all right. you. Bye.
Bye. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. By the way, I did have a moment. I said something about to some kid about how I was going to send a letter home to, you know, his mom or something. Cause the kid was being a, you know, tool. And he goes, he's, what did he say? Something like, my dad could come beat you up. I'm like, well, unless your dad has studied martial arts for 26 years, I don't think he has a shot. So sit down.
Ooh.
And I just realized I probably shouldn't say that.
My dad could beat up your dad.
You know, my dad could come beat you up. Really, little man? Because I think I could totally handle your father. I met him. I'd bash his head into these bongos.
Wow, Michael.
Oh, I'm kidding. No, I never said that.
I know.
Maybe I did.
Probably not.
No, I don't say it. I just, never mind. Parent-teacher conferences are really entertaining around where I come from. No, I'm kidding about all
he
that.
He holds them in the gym, in the boxing ring.
It's like, boing. Yeah, I'm just laid out. Actually, there's a lot of ex-military fathers and so
on. Oh, yeah.
Probably, you know. There's some serious guys there. They know what they're doing. And let's not forget, there's probably some serious women there who know what they're doing. Yeah, a lot of police officers, parents as well. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's go to the most well-dressed, the best food comes from this place, and some of the best poetry. Let's go to Mama Oladeji calling from Ohio. Are you there?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Mama Oladeji. Shipping my Chardonnay and waiting to be on the microphone because I'm trying to join in the festivities. You sound so upbeat and having so much fun beating people's dads upside the head with bongos and stuff. So,
It's just another night in paradise, Mama.
I overstand. So here we go. This is one of my October getting close to Halloween poem. It's called Perhaps. Perhaps at the day's complete, this date with death shall not prove to be dead beat. The outcome has proven quite concrete. Tragedies that shades itself behind death's eyes, piercing to contaminate, like some blastomyces ready to enter my bloodstream to do some harm. Like some invading fungi who does not laugh at the joke, but at the joker's lack of antidotal charm. As death is now my escort, invasions need no persuasion. I've awakened myself to realize such a thought. Finding my words nesting in some confession's plot. That is why I never sympathize with evil. Abetted by the fluid allure of death, follows me like a wagon full of fresh fish with a trail of flies. In poetic terms, it's easy to describe the evil that is flowing like sewage in a flood. Around every corner I have found the hatred from which I strive to hide. Thus led me to find a solemn place near the trees where peacefully I now reside, existing as I sit with one trusting friend. We admire the color of the trees and the quiet. We meditate and sit in amber silence without anticipating the judgment of each other in peace.
A very, very, very solid and intriguing piece, Mama.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I love you guys. You always make me feel like a poet.
That's kind of what we're trying to do. That's the vibe there. But hey, no, Mama, we do mean it though. We're genuine every time, and it's really a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, you got it. All right, Mama, we're going to move on, but call us back for the return engagement if you can, okay?
Wait a minute. I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What is that? What is this thing we can do tonight special? Like, is you said we can do raunchy stuff?
Yeah, so this is after the next segment, which will be the return engagement. We'll say, hey, we're going to end the normal show, and so that'll let everybody know, and then we'll play some more music for a call-in for an After Dark segment. One segment, it's kind of similar to return engagement,
yep,
but you can go kind of more raunchy with it if you'd like.
I don't have to, but I just want to know exactly what it meant when you said we could be more, like, does that mean cuss more?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We only have okay. One rule at that point.
That means no pants. That's the rule.
So, but we'll, if you keep listening to the show, we'll explain it all out for you. Not a problem.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mama. We'll talk to you soon. That was like a semi-jinx.
Yeah, it was. That was kind of weird.
That was Mama Only Day G calling from Ohio, laying it down.
I don't know what I just did.
I don't know what you just did either. I was watching that. All right. Now.
There we go.
We're going to travel to the land of Missouri. But don't blame him, because the name is not the state he's in. Unless he feels like talking about it, and he's a pretty powerful poet. He could do it. Let's go to Sinister right now. Sinister, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, man. Happy to hear you. I'm gonna shut up, let you take the floor. We'll talk after, okay?
You're breaking up a little.
Yeah, Sinister. It's pretty hard to hear you. It's breaking up so much. Do you want to try to? We can hear you. You're a bit better now. Yeah, I can't make him up. Sinister, how about this? We'll stall for a second. Why don't you try calling us right back? We'll just pick up live and try to go. Okay. So we'll stall. Just call us right back. Sometimes cell signals can get funky. And not in the good
in
way.
In the process. So
not,
yeah.
Like, what we're not looking for is, like, a bad Parliament cover band. What we're looking for is, like, you know, Prince and the Revolution.
Yeah.
That's what we kind of want. We want the Sheila E. of cell phone signals, not the Fred Torkelson. Doesn't Fred Torkelson just sound like he would suck as a drummer? The name?
Can you check the chat room, see if he is in? Oh, yep. There he is. Never mind.
Let's get him. Let's see. Hopefully this works. Keep your fingers crossed. All right, Sinister, you there?
I'm here. We got better perception now?
That sounds a lot better. A lot better.
Go ahead and let him go.
I don't know what the kids break everything, I swear.
It just happens. All right, I'm going to let you do it, okay? And then, so let's just get it through, so in case there's any issues, we'll talk after, okay?
All right. It's called Further's Wound. Jump into an oblivion, one unimaginable to uniformity, a lofting vibration oozing from handfuls of tablets, color whispered in static fusion, horizontally pulsated as the limbs corroding at each nerve junction, fading, deep sleep, convulsion. Pour absent vapors upon the liver, sickly processing, hanging inverted crucifix as stones probing thorns, traveling the veins of a shooter's final dance to vacancy, not aware of what I've become as a shade you see in tyrannical hues. Juniper wreaths be a decoration of my final decree, embalmed in canisters of morose laughter fractured. As the eye of three vaults into the oblique eclipse, plaster concern into the arms of benevolence's safekeeping, yearning transition. Gray landscapes are dotted in occasional maroon outings. Slanted be the breeze's effect on birds of malign feather. Come to brush foolishly on the tit of radular confrontation in sight, much the same as Socrates' claims of telepathy, mundane. Climaxes, me. The sensation of dismemberment, something I've passed before. Groping the short hairs of death's frail passion, it lured me in. Find absolution inside kidney stones of magic fortune tellers. Creep, gutted down without fanfare or high desert hours. Deprecate, nervous, innuendo. Reason attempts to root itself on what is now a myth. escaping breath flicker and silhouettes of rasping carbon languidly creep above the undertow, siphoning nightshades, intoxicated by each sickly transfer of their passing dander. Quagmires escaping, space cowboy in the pearl of stupidity I twirl, weightless and extracted from the gravitational plethora, a singular instance of, we may have gone too far now, but it's the further I seek, and in his womb, I am complete. The box breathing in peace.
Very, very solid work, Sin. Really enjoyed that, man.
Yeah, I figured it goes with the boat, you know. Ride that bitch.
That's great, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm getting done with your engagement, and I got something big for later on if I can get through.
All right, we're looking forward to it, man.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you. Bye. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri, laying it down, buttering it up. Smacking it hard and laying it down.
Wow, that's so weird. Don't do that again.
Why?
That was just weird.
Okay.
It was just weird.
Pick it up, slap it, call its mama, eat some chicken, laying it down.
Wow.
No?
No.
Picking it up?
No. Just stop. just stop. Hey, did you find a submission?
I'm going to look harder for it. Let's just go to a return engagement.
You sure?
Yeah, let's just do it. Well, let's
fine.
Just
pick it up.
Yeah, woohoo! Let's do it. I'm still looking through. If there is a submission, it's only one more. So I'll read at the front of the return engagement.
Not a problem.
All right, so anybody who wants to call, if you've called in already tonight, you can call in again. If you want to call in and you haven't yet, this is also your time. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Pick it up and lock it down. Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Well, it's time to drop it in. Take it out. Feed it well. Work it out. Go forward. Move ahead. Make it cry. Feed it a sandwich, lay it out cold, and put that thing down, Travis. It's the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. That was class.
It was awesome.
All the way.
Poor Travis.
He's a bastard. All right. What am I going to say? He's only three. I'm kidding. I have no students named Travis. All right. So I didn't find a submission locked up for this show specifically that does not have a poet on the list here already.
Gotcha.
So we're just going to go straight ahead with this. Let's go right away to Philip in Kentucky.
Indeed.
Hello, and welcome to the return engagement.
Oh, how marvelous.
I know. It's pretty stupendous, if I do say so myself.
Which he does.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm down. This is totally random. Yeah. You know, a little bit of small talk. Do either of you guys use tortilla wraps?
Do you, JT?
From time to time, I have.
Because, man, I've been, like, just wrapping everything from breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yep. There's, like, almost nothing I can't put in a wrap, and I don't know. It's a nice change of pace.
So
but, you know,
I'm going to give you this little weird recipe that I did with a short order cook for a wrap.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's a hamburger, okay?
Uh-huh.
So grill up your burger patty, okay,
uh-huh,
and then chop it up.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
into just dice it up.
We call that ground beef?
No, you're not re-grounding it. You're just cutting the patty.
All right.
After it's cooked, cut up the patty, put your lettuce down, put your burger in, put your cheese on it, all your toppings, and roll it up and do a wrap of it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds delicious.
You're going to love
really
it.
Does.
You're going to go, oh, my God, where have you been?
I'm down. Yeah, absolutely.
I think, JT, see, I'm full of these things tonight. I think you could start a restaurant called It's a Wrap, and you just wrap everything in it. Yeah?
I still have my other two.
That screams Empire to me, yes. JT.
It's a wrap.
But I tell you, the breakfast wrap is really delicious, too.
Yes, they are.
Some fried potatoes, you know, put some cheese in that, some other toppings. Put that in a tortilla wrap. That stuff is just yum. And it's good if you're on the go, too. So
you know, definitely. That's true. Now, let me tell you something, though. So I don't really eat tortilla wraps myself. I have been known to indulge in the wrapping of things in tortillas. However,
Irish and Italian, so.
I'm Irish and Italian. However, I eat a diet that's primarily like chicken and vegetables right now.
Uh-huh.
However, I will say there's this great little side feature that came out when Robert Rodriguez was releasing his DVDs. And he used to have this thing called 10-Minute Flick School where he would talk about how he would make certain effects on films, whatever. Then at some point, he started making 10-Minute Cooking School for his DVDs. And so he did like, for Once Upon a Time in Mexico, he did a 10-Minute Recipe on Porco Pibillo, which is a pork recipe from the Yucatan. Fantastic. And then he did Sin City breakfast tacos with homemade tortillas and eggs and potatoes. Check it out. 10-minute cooking school. You'll find it right there. And it is so worth doing.
Yeah, I'll absolutely do that. All right. Dig it. What you cannot find on YouTube. There's very little you cannot find on there.
That's true.
I will look it up. All
except
right.
for me apologizing. You can't find that on YouTube yet.
But, and then to embarrass you, we can find you actually playing the piano, sir, out on the streets in, I think, either Denver or Colorado Springs. I don't know which city you were in.
That was Denver, and I know that one. I think I posted that one.
I couldn't help it. I had to look you up, sir, just to check you out.
Hey, fair enough, man. Fair enough. As long as you didn't see my other videos.
Oh, boy, I can't wait. Yeehaw.
That's on a totally different search engine, Philip.
He is buff. I'll just put it that way. He's taught like a tiger. Once he takes off that shirt, I tell you.
He's tiger right. taught.
This is a family show, man.
That's I know.
Right, all right?
That's right. I know.
Right? I know. He keeps like, never mind. I'll be good. Here we go. the title. All right. A non-specific selection from a nondescript quiver. And here we go. Quiet attitudes of unhinged men who go walking above black rivers and ivory graves like the past remains beneath snowdrift footsteps and their weary shoulders. Achievements and losses are also for the ferrymen. Following lonesome shadows toward cliched precipices, simple as any conclusion to a single sentence, exclamations after exaggerations, and ellipses associated with incompleteness as the em-dash and period, one's breath rapt or solemn, coffins grammatical as parentheses, voices that inhabit space the same as time, dust measuring hours inside tilted glass, feminine or vaguely maternal, bulbous at the sun-glossy base, a womb filled with counted grains, gravity still gathering planetary orbits in a way that entices drowsy lids toward slumber and childhood nostalgia, old hands returned to the wind, aged feet surprisingly swift, their persuasive meters direct, come all the way from Roman antiquity. Everyone eventually reduced to placid gazes, silent and unaccompanied by consciousness. One day we must leave, even if the present is indecisive as it wanes. And there it is, fellas.
Really, really solid piece. Enjoyed that one very much.
Wow, dig it. I really appreciate that, Michael. You keep pouring gasoline on the fires, you know. That's good for me, at least.
Well, what can I say? Any poem that uses the word bulbous so eloquently, I have to support.
I'm just going to say I'm blushing. I'll just put it that way. You're making me smile. You both are making me smile.
That's what I'm working on. That's it. We're working on it.
All right.
All right.
You do well, sir.
Hey,
all right.
You.
I look forward to the After Dark segment.
All right.
And cheers to you both. All right.
Cheers, Philip. Thanks. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. I don't know. Did you get ominous feelings about this After Dark thing? Like, it's going to be, it either could be a really, really highly charted, like a Prince and the Revolution concert, or it could be like Night of the Living Dead. Either way, we'll find out.
Oh. Okay. sorry.
I feel like we should be drinking alcohol for this kind of results.
Probably should.
We'd probably get the exact same results if we were actually drinking alcohol.
Yeah, we probably would. Mm-hmm. If not a little bit worse.
Well, probably, to be fair, probably worse.
Yeah.
That's why we don't do it.
That's right.
There was that one time I was kind of drunk on the air.
That was really intense.
I wasn't that bad. No, I was not drunk at that point yet. We're talking about our first year.
First year. And it's in the archive.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I can go listen to it. It wasn't that bad.
No. It was getting there.
Well, it was after the show, not during the show. There was another show where we drank wine on the air to celebrate something.
Yes.
That was before that, though.
Okay.
That's what I was remembering. Oh, okay. I'm going to go back and listen to the archive, though, because I want to know how obnoxious I got. Oh, come on. I have a feeling you're overblowing that. All right. Let's go to Titus in the UK, someone who's never been obnoxious, who's always been a picture of eloquence. Titus, how are you?
Yes, still here and waiting patiently. Thank you.
Thank you for waiting patiently through my ranting.
Bye, Philip. Enjoyed that. Philip, thank you. Yes, we are, I think, sport for mentors, I think. A long time ago, my wife got me into poetry by being separated. And to continue that, there have been people who I've listened to have actually guided me. So if I've improved, I have to thank them very much. And as I say, with sport with Philip, Sinister, I was really knocked out by his piece, if he's listening. This one I've got is called O Masterful Magician, Dignitary Mentor. This is my mentor, latest one. Sadly, two of them have died, and Andre Ben-Urio, who's my mentor at the moment. O masterful magician, dignitary mentor. We're very much into the Greek school of philosophy, so we have a chat together, and we have an odd kind of like chat. It's all about the way people would have been in those days in BC when they were all amongst themselves, a philosopher, so you'll have to forgive the language. Apollo, O masterful magician, it's my delight in knowing you, never too late to reach so great a compliment. I refer to defender of the oracle, god of light, attain thee all this truth, recite your harps convey, this intermediary role you soothe, ephemeral, as the gifts of prophecy prolongs you as an esquire. Beyond reach of the stars, supinely do I lay, I fetch you, sire, eloquent gaze so bright, so pure 'twould comprise, I display naively my guide Andre, with sonorous sound so heavenly. Yet diminished free from which this epoch showed so cleverly, endeared me to create focus on Artemis, as she will focus on healing and prophecy, accompany your muse, a cithara, upon unduly lay, that I may ask Cleo to cross your hand and play. A god of many things, poetry, the knowledge of art will cling. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can replace, I besiege no rivalry. Duly center of the earth, Delphi, with Titus, Titan, Leto, quietly, ruminating an important remedy, each is privately speaking, each to their own, as they say, a friendly exchange is chivalry. Blatantly obscure, since the Greek legends have left for us eons, they're sifted to placate last the redeeming lost services, numerate their each instruction that is thorough, their mercies, yearning as are the Apollon musettes, so necessitate thus, emancipating both desire, by our thoughts to freely acquire hedonism, for attributes through listening, learning to inspire, unilaterally, your fragrance lives on, wiser words for purpose. And that's it. Thank you.
Wow. It's a beautiful piece. I know the people in the chat room really enjoyed that one.
Well, this guy, Andre, he hasn't got many rights on the line or poetry, but
sure,
what he has written is something out of this world, something that you would read in the classics, you know, and... people like him, we actually go through it. When he compliments my works, he, you know, it's like as if someone's come from the past, Lucretius or someone like that who's commented on my work. And I find that really, fantastic to read, actually. And not for the comments, but just the way he tells them.
That's fantastic. Yes. Yeah.
But thanks for having me on again.
Oh, of course. Anytime, Titus. We're so happy to give you a voice, and we're so happy you join us. That's a big piece.
It's nearly 5 o'clock now, so you can tell by the voice.
Well, I hope you get some rest and enjoy the day.
Okay, lovely. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Titus calling from the UK, following up with, that's one thing I love about the show. I'm sorry, I'm stopping mid-thought here.
It's okay.
Kentucky to the UK.
Yep.
Back to Michigan, and all solid work.
Yeah.
People who might not hear each other's voice ever.
Yeah.
They might see each other's writing, like on All Poetry or something, but not like this. I think it's really cool. So let's head to Michigan, to one of our longest supporters, one of our great friends on the show, to Dennis. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am. I wouldn't miss it.
All right. Well, we're really happy that you're able to make it to the return engagement tonight.
I am too. I had a few blank spots during the session tonight. I don't know if anything was mentioned about Tom Petty.
Oh.
And I know he's been I know the JT's been playing his music, but we somehow ought to acknowledge his passing because he had a great influence on so many.
Oh, absolutely. And also I will say partially to that also, stay tuned for Studio X next week.
Oh, lovely. Yes. I'll do that. All right. Well, the poem I'm going to read, I've read before, but I've whittled on it a little bit and made a few edits, and I just thought I'd throw it into the mix tonight. The title is The Sentient Ocean. The ocean feels the push of the wind, the tug of the moon, the rush of tides, and the sun's presence or absence. It is host, freight, crews, and fishing vessels, delights with mirrored seas or unrestrained waves, depending on its mood at any given time. It holds sunken treasures and ships in the palm of its lush gardens, and other secrets too. Corrupted by thoughtless, careless intruders, through pollution and toxic waste, it is continuously working to regenerate itself. As a grain of sand in the oyster, covering over irritations to make its own amazing pearls of healing. End of poem.
Wow. That was a that was really a beautiful good. Piece. Yeah. Thank you, Dennis.
Oh, the ocean is such an inspiration to writers. I don't know that that subject could ever be exhausted.
I don't think so either. And isn't it interesting? It's kind of a, it's like a blank canvas in a way that projects it. I mean, I was just listening to a song on the way here, and the lyric struck me as almost, like an Oscar Wilde kind of thing, or an Irish poem anyway. It starts off, I know a girl who's like the sea, and I watch her changing every day for me. One day she's still, the next day she swells. You can hear the universe in her seashells. I'm going, that's totally what it is, And that's how it is, and I agree. And some of the best poetry comes from that, and I count what you just read among that. So thank you.
Thank you, and thanks once again for providing this platform for us to come together and share as brothers and sisters in the world of poetry. We are a wonderful family, and I appreciate you allowing us to come together in this way and all the things you do for us. So thanks again, and I'll step aside and say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. it was suspense there. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, I didn't know whether I was going to get any snaps or whatever they are.
Oh yeah, that's where. What is this? Did we not do this? We did that. What am I thinking?
I thought I'd throw you off just a little bit.
Oh man,
it was good. Thank
All
you,
right.
Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis.
So thank you. Take care, guys.
All right. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, throwing me off my game, man.
It worked.
It totally worked.
I was just sitting there going, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. All right. Let's head to.
Oh, there he is. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, there
Sorry.
We go. See, I was kind of weirded out.
I appreciate that.
Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan, welcome back.
Yeah, that was a fantastic read from Dennis. I love that.
Yeah, I really did too. That was really something.
All right, I'm gonna preface this story with just a little bit of a piece of poetry here.
Okay.
If you question or resist the status quo, you're a free thinker, aka dissident. Ooh. If you accept or condone the status quo, you're a camp follower, a.k.a. sheep. No democracy can exist without dissent. Up the rebels.
Okay.
And this piece I'm going to read, or I'm not reading it, actually. I'm just basically what I did was formulate a story out of an old joke that I heard a long time ago. But I thought it had such a powerful an important message in that story that it was worth using that and forming a story about this. And it's going to be called Courage Uncensored. It was a time when desegregation and integration was still fairly new, but a nation strove to reach an ideal within its beliefs. Two young men walking down a dirt road, discussing the day and the change. The one looked to the other and said, well, now that we're not segregated and we're integrated, what are you going to do? And the other young man thought and then smiled and said, I'm going to go to that whites-only restaurant and be served. His friend stopped him and stated, I understand it's a new law of the land, but you can't forget there's still the Klan. The young man pulled away from his friend and said, to hell with the Klan. It's a new day. I'm a free man, and I am going to be served. So he made his way on his quest to town. As he came into town, he noticed water fountains, barber shops, all manner of signs that were white only had been removed, no longer existing, including the whites only restaurant. He walked across the street to go into the restaurant, not through the side or back door, but through the front door, into the middle of the dining area, where, of course, his presence was met with looks of disdain and disgust. The manager quickly hurried up to him and stopped his progression and said to him, what the hell, boy? What do you think you're doing here? The young man looked at him and said, I've come for a meal to be served. The manager, not knowing exactly what to do, held him up there and said, you wait right here. He quickly ran back to see the owner of the restaurant sitting at his desk and said, we've got a problem outside here, boss. There's a colored boy in here. He's saying he needs to be served. What do I do? The owner stopped and thought, turned to the manager and said, you seat him, you take his order, and you serve him. I'm going to make a phone call. So the manager ushered his waitress reluctantly over to seat the young man, sat him at his table. He ordered his meal. He got done with his first course, and then the main course was brought to him, an entire roasted chicken with all the trimmings set before him. His first real feast of freedom. He picked up his utensils and prepared to dig in. That's when he noticed the four hooded figures walking through the door with a purpose toward him. One behind him, two at each side, and the one in front. He looked to each side behind him, and then at the face and the hood in front. The man in front leaned down on the table, knuckled down, looked the young man in the eye and said, "Now, nigger, anything that you do to that chicken, we're going to do to you." The young man sat back down at the bird, his feast of freedom. Looking back up at the man in front of him, his eyes steeled, and a smile of defiance crossed his face. As he stood up, putting his utensils down, reached into his wallet, laid enough of his cash on the ticket to cover the cost of his meal, put his wallet back and prepared to go. But before he stepped outside that door one step, he turned, picked up the chicken, spun it around, and kissed its ass. End story.
I'm speechless, Stan.
It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Thank you, Stan. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great.
But yeah. I just thought that the joke itself was just about the chicken. But to me, the courage of that young man to face his oppressors and leave that remark
in
the form of a kiss, you know, I couldn't resist it. And I couldn't tell you where I heard that joke or who told it to me or where it ever originated from. But I thought that to me is one of my all-time favorites.
That's great. Absolutely great.
And I will see you fellas after dark.
Sounds good.
We'll see you after dark. Thank you. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama. He always gives us something to think about, too. Sometimes it makes us laugh, but it's always something.
That story alone just...
Yeah. And he always reads it so well, too. That's the other side of it, huh?
Yeah.
Man. All right. Now let's go to the logical next step. That's what. Let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Well, it is fall here. I think so.
It's fall here, too.
I try to remember it's fall when I go outside. We're down to 95 now.
Oh.
They say it'd be down to 90. They say it'd be down to 90 in a month or so.
Hey, break out the parka.
I get a sweater now. It's a chilly. I mean, I can't go out in the morning. It's like 75. There's no way. I don't go under 60. I don't go under 60.
Is it that if you can't cook an egg on the street, you're not going outside?
Yeah, it's a pumpkin. I turn into a very mushy pumpkin. Nobody wants to even look at it. Trust me.
Fair enough. I understand.
All right. Poor Tom Petty and the egregious announcement of his death before the fact when he was really gone, but the family wasn't ready and the media and all of that, and who the hell wants to deal with any of that? But poor him. And then he left, and he was... I would say 1,000 people were influential musically in my life, and he was a good one of them, at least in that era. He was in the top 10, maybe, of his era. So bless him for that. But I didn't choose his song. I did Free Fallin' on YouTube, if you want to ever check it out. I am there now, but I'm going to do a Tom Waits song. Hold on. Are you good? You want to ask me anything?
No, I love that song.
Three questions.
I love that song.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on my rough and gruff and real low voice.
All right. You got to hold on.
Yeah. You know, if Waits is nothing else, he's rough and tough, and he gets it done.
And he's also like one John hell of Prine. A songwriter. Probably one of the best out there.
Yeah, John Prine in his time. I could go on with about 20,000 others, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's raw and he's real, like so much poetry. So it's poetry on wheels.
Yeah.
I'm going to do, it's called Hold On.
All right.
Hold On. Lay on the side in our town. You live it up, you won't live it down. She left my just like a bullet. Track on life, Monroe hit. She went and took that California trip. The moon was gold, her hair like wind. She said, don't look back, just come on, Jim. Oh, you got to hold on, hold on. You got to hold on. Take my hand, let's get out of here. What you gave us, dinosaur. And it made fun of me. Everyone's looking for someone to blame. But if you share my bed, you share my bed. Just go ahead and call the cops. You don't need nice girls in the coffee shop. She said, baby, I still love you. Sometimes there's nothing left to do. Whoa, you got to hold on, hold on. You got to hold on. Take my hand up, stand right here. I'm dead, you're a little hurt. And we'll start the best of this. I miss your broken shine. I wish you were still here with me. You build it up, you wreck it down. And you burn your mansion to the ground. And nothing left here. You're falling behind. World, oh, you got to hold on, hold on. You got to hold on. Take my hand, I'm standing right here. You got to hold on. I'm fine, I'm inside myself. And we know that all the way. You buy a nice thing at the store. She closed her eyes. But it's so hard to stand that way when it's cold and there's no for your hometown so far away. But inside the head is the record playing and the song that sings. Hold on, hold on. You really got to hold on. Take my hand, I'm standing right here now. Hold on, hold on. You really got to hold on. Take my hand, I'm standing right here now. Last time. Hold on. to me, got a hold on me, take my hand, I'm standing right here. Isn't that nice?
It's a beautiful song. Great job, Mary.
Clap, clap, all that. Clappy, clappy. Bye-bye. I love you guys.
Hey, thank you, Mary.
Oh, wait. You know, the after dark's are coming.
The after dark's are coming. Yeah.
Halloween is here and the after dark's are coming. I love you.
Thank you, Mary. We love you, too.
You're welcome.
All right. And that was Mary laying down some Tom Waits from Arizona. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it is.
I have a lot of memories with that song. I'll get into them some other time, though. Let's go right now to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
I think she's there.
Barbara, are you there? Barbara, if you can hear us and we're not responding to you, just hang up right now and give us a call right back. See that? Boom.
Interesting.
I think I'm psychic.
I don't think it was a Skype thing.
You don't think it was?
Nope.
Well, it kind of sounded like it did before. Let's see what happens here. Hello, Barbara. You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine now. Thank you for playing ball with us there.
Do I have a choice?
You know what? That's the weird thing. That's the crux. Anyway, Barbara.
Yeah.
So what do you have for us this time?
Well, it's autumn. So I thought I would go back to an old poem I wrote in 2015 about autumn. And it's called Autumn Thoughts. And it's not really autumn yet. It's starting to get a little colory here. You know, there's a little color on the trees, and it's starting to get colder at night, and, you know, things like that. But it's still not quite autumn. It's still kind of summery in the daylight, and I don't know. But this is how I feel about autumn. So hold on.
That was the name of the Tom Waits song.
Had to wet my whistle. Okay. Autumn Thoughts. It starts small like a symphony with one or two colored leaves fluttering from the trees in a grand ballet, twirling and swirling as they make their entrance onto the hard cement that will be their resting place, or softly sliding onto the still green grass, layer upon layer, creating a collage of colors, red, orange, some purples, all arriving as the trees above grow bald, as if shorn by their hairdress of the wind. And the season changes, sometimes overnight, from flimsy blouses to thick sweaters, and our thoughts switch from the light and airy to the darker and deeper, from meandering through our days to rushing from outside to inside. And in this vestibule for winter, we gradually accept the cold and bleak, admiring the foliage as if the world were a museum and we were spectators, ooing and aahing over nature's painting as we rate the colors as they slowly fade, the cold gaze of winter eyeing us as autumn creeps ever forward toward the final moment when the trees, bare as a baby's bottom, are revealed and their skeletons left to face the cruel winds of winter. And poem.
I think you've read that one on here before, and I remember really, really liking it. And I did again just then, so thank you.
Well, it is a return engagement, so I did return. I was thinking about reading my Halloween poem, but I thought it's too early. So I will save my Halloween poem for the closer show to Halloween.
Well, poetry and Halloween is all about timing.
Indeed, it is about timing, Michael. As life is all about timing, isn't it?
That's what I heard.
Yes, it's all about the timing. It's very similar to my own life. You can meet someone at one time and think they're an asshole,
and then
<It's true. laughs>
meet them again and be charmed. So it all depends on timing.
Usually goes the opposite way for me, Barbara, but sure. It usually ends up with me going, what was I thinking? Anyway, Barbara, thank you very much. And we'll talk to you during the After Dark segment, okay?
Yes, I have my piece already.
All right. Get your whistle wetted, and then we'll see you in the next segment.
My whistle will be wetted.
All right. All right, fantastic. Okay. All right, Barbara, and we'll see you in the next segment.
Talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye. And coming up next, since she's calling, you want to just jump on it?
Just a moment.
All right. Cool, man. Next, coming up is Mama Oladeji from Ohio. Let's try to take the call live. Mama, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. My call dropped. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay. We've
Thank
got you.
For calling.
Thank you for calling. We've got you live on the air right now. We're going to be quiet, let you read, and then we'll talk after.
Okay. Since the man from Alabama did his form, I'm going to do I'm a student of Carl Lawrence Dunbar, and he was a poet that I wrote in dialect. So this is one of my dialectical poems. And I feel like every nation and ethnic group had a form of dialect. So this was our form of dialect, our attempt at speaking English when we first came over here and adopted this new language. And the name of this piece, like I said, inspired by Paul Lawrence Dunbar. And if you go to my Facebook page, you will see a page called More About Paul. And I have a lot of history there for him, from him and about him. And the name of this piece is called Pay That No Tension. Goes like this. Can I speak in dialect like my great-grandmother? They call me crazy because I love to distort the English. They call me ignorant because I love my pidgin. Love the broken English and the patois. They laugh at me and says, learn to speak the language. I laugh at them and think, you don't speak well the language yourself. But can I speak in dialect like my cousins in the marketplace? Like my grandfather who could fix anything that was broken. Only broken thing was his English that he could never fix. I know their Bible and I know their words, he'd say. Me, I could use them quite grandiloquently and proper too if I chooses to. Could speak well if I chooses to, but I hadn't oughta, because if I do, they will call me uppity and highfalutin and say I'm trying to be proper. They will say I've been reading and pretending, thinking I was better. But I say, don't pay that no attention. Pay attention to the beauty of my unique expression, the importance of my lesson. When I give you my metaphors of African wisdom from my ancestors, when I speak, I give you a peek into the depth of my tongue. Ignore the speech and reach for the reason what I was telling you this here for. I speak all these rules, I break them too. It may sound like I'm a Geechee, but I'm not a fool. I love breaking the rules. But as they say, some things are sacred, so I act dumb to catch wise. Ain't they surprised when my action shows my level of skill? As I perform on stages and rant my rages, I can speak in dialect like my forefathers. Yes. It's my own way of holding on to what we created out of this bastard language called English. Speaking comfortable ain't no happy thing, and it causes anguish. But if you think I'm talking stupid and dumb, you must be stupid and dumb. Where I come from, we needed our code to survive the cold, to survive the abuse. And there weren't no use of speaking proper in proper order. When your intention was to run towards freedom border, and when you take a check and recollect, you may see and may agree that we dropped rap in your lap, and all that dialect now gets respect. So I can speak in dialect like I'm supposed to do.
this defiant language we created for you and planted it in you as we grew. Funny part, aren't so funny. Because see, all those so-called proper talking folks is now speaking this way too. Anyway, about them folk, it's like we the art they like us imitating. The way it goes, I'm going to run my mouth because there's a right way to speak English wrong. Right? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Because they don't get it right. They say a good imitation is flattery, though, but I don't feel they do so good at doing me. I speak to you in dialect, cheering, rap, patois, hip-hop, pidgin, broken English, if you will. Just do it till you feel it in your bones and keep creating a language of your own. When those people call you crazy, show them your papers and tell them to catch the vapors. Ha-ha! PLD kept our dialect. And remember, when they try to diss you, they really wants to be like you. So miss me with the dissing. My feet you should be kissing. Dialect is the language of our soul. We used it in the old days. So express yourself in broken English. Cry with your bad self. Say it loud and get on down. Salute James Brown and Bob Marley. Too numerous to mention. So all them wanna be so hotty-totty. Ain't nobody. So don't pay them no attention. Yet, I can speak in dialect. Ha, ha, ha. Of course I can. Can you? MP.
Wow. Mama, that was incredibly, incredibly articulate and well done.
I love
don't
it.
Don't say that,
no, no, that's, and you know the thing I was thinking about too. The funny thing about dialect is you start getting into discussing it. Even someone like Shakespeare, right? Shakespeare just created a lot of his own stuff. He didn't care. He's just going for it. The language is elastic, and there's so many social constructs put on top of us because of our language, because language controls how we think. And I think that was just a wonderful, wonderful piece.
Absolutely.
Well, thank my ancestor and one of the first black poet laureates of the United States. And he spoke in dialect. He wrote in dialect and also spoke in proper English as well. Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Go to my page. More about Paul if you want to study or read anything else from him or about him.
Sounds great. Absolutely great. Thank you so much, Mama.
You're welcome. See you on the return after dark.
All right. Absolutely. Sounds good. See you then.
another side of your mama.
All right. All right.
Sounds good. We look forward to it. All right. We'll talk to you then. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Ohio. Dropping it down.
Yeah.
She really did.
She really did. Really that solid. Was great.
I'm not even playing her out. She really did.
It's a really good piece.
All right. Let's take this to a place where I think it's gonna be a great ending. Now, since Barbara kind of had dropped out there, there's a strong chance that Sinister's reception is going to be weird if it was on our end.
Okay. All right.
So we'll just see what happens. Let's pop in here and see what Sinister's up to. This is Sinister from Missouri. Sinister, are you there? Okay, it sounds like we're having an issue. So if you can hear a Sinister, hang up, give us a call right back. We're just having issues on our end.
That is interesting. Okay.
Yeah, see that?
That was weird.
Huh. Yeah, so anyway, he should be calling back here any moment. And we'll be wrapping up the return engagement here. Here he is. Let's bring him right on. Hey, Sinister, are you there?
Hi, I'm here now.
We can hear you just fine, man. Just loud and clear. All right, go ahead and take it away, man. Take it away. We'll talk after.
All right. This is the last time we danced. Awake the winter's vibrant gloom, clutching last rites to show his waning power, creating silver tinsel, dripping slippery bars. But what have you to miscue on sorry's hand? And houses ordained downstairs and crooked basements, home masses by tin cans and charity blankets. Bitching about the time outside your fashionable coffin. Creed never knew such grandstanding falls deep.
Can you snub the nose and misery's placement? Spread your cheeks. And commonly spirited on seeking divine conception, loose growth and terrors of an erratic economy, taste. Cannot suffice the cost of county court lunches, the governor knows red tape complacence. Trash bags lined up like fabric urns, tilted towers, ships broken, neglecting the stitch needs. No equation in the quandary of quarters biting, liquid gel cleansing tattered soul and sundries wrung. In this warm breeze remitted by sweet failure's vapor out of some drab expressionist essence, lost right. Petty theft and corporate wandering, keep me high. Festering lesions leak out beneath stretch-up eyes. Chatting and catching shattered fragments of gripping deviantly pleased, used tires still the invasion fodder proceeds opposing lies. No homecoming harlotin can guard her value without such binds, burnt into the retinas of an aging social transgression flung. Spark a stick of rational oblivion dried in moonshine. Yet these taxes miss educated goals. No towing line. Fatter grow stumpy pockets, barnished in fortune's clan. Not a trace will be a digit, Miss Cold War Adams. Yet still, it legal to spirit greatest of dangers in mobility. Crash below corner markets, these vacant DUIs. How can you balk at Jane's lengthy cushions, stockings? Because I decree in her, I'm the most gentle of men. There's still light from the hearth, recalling times, ousted death's pit, duct tape heroes from long ago, containing decimated memories on silver strands, fueled worth of coffee, loose impurities, craving. Shiver in the shadow, this tragic shelving of suffrage, gone amiss the nation once coveted by false pride, being detained for rebellious incursions I won't regret. After all, their derisions broke open that shameless dam. I don't know if you feel it, too. So many reasons for crying. I'm not the most wonderful person, but I commit truth. Less jaded say as to not be implementing oppression. Too shy the word to explain what lacks one so physical. Stringing up minimum expectations of bowel movements, doctors said sign your life on that thing you thought your rights. Always take another, you know, get the wool rakes. Worthy sheep. Soon. Weight will succeed from nectars on ripened jelly seeds. Farewell, my sweetest flower. Calling home, crash sin. I'm deserting it all on highway shoulders. I'm boundless, initiating a grind like Judas recalling why betrayal was all right. Nothing sovereign than cost at reason's value. Luscious just small town schisms, reflect visions and dirty coffee cups, diner patrons in arms over rodents, pissing on floors. Be the evening before exterminator comes, darling. Go dress down the pretty, prepare for aimless flight. Staying here won't warrant progression, repressed dreams tonight. It's a thousand salvageable seasons, now gone will mother die. Destruction is human worth, and afflictions grabbing the bottom line. Heavy printed carbon footpath mar a faded paradigm. I don't refresh and liquidate a system's rivaling Tijuana bathing rights, seeds to sow or soaked in multitudes of pollutional flight, chemtrails in the grandest natostratus, stolo jaunus. Look up at the night to corrode your retinas and radioactive lie. I'm smoking my confessions while writing funeral rhymes. You know, Big Brother has eyes floating in concrete trees, keeps full the slotted gluttony of verbal sacrificial plight, lacking cause and purpose, crucified, speaking high-depth infamy. Sing out in voices with rational purpose bent on deceit. Pseudo-convictions will be errantly imposed to three. Highly suspect these benign verdicts after so much tragedy, cutting open the bile, showing what game breaks individuality. I was disgracefully patient and waiting on a helping heart's defeat, scribing subtle nuances of this goading, diabolic hypocrisy. But you fingered greed where oral complacency really bleeds. Instead, I think I it's a four-step larceny about triple corporal feet.
Powerful stuff, man. It's a strong, ending.
Oh, man. I got lung infection, so it's hard for me to read these. I haven't done this one in a long time.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
And I appreciate you. I was back for the church engagement. Read these. Part of my book I never read to you.
All right.
All right, man. Thanks so much. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri to wrap up the return engagement section of the show. All right. So for everybody listening, this is the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper. So if you don't want to get into more adult theme stuff, I know that kind of hit on that last poem there.
A little bit, but not really.
100%. Yeah. But we're now going to be ending World Poetry Open Mic proper. We're going to be heading into another segment called After Dark. So by the time this music's over, and if you don't want to be exposed to more adult themes, I would suggest saying good evening. So from JT, from myself, from Ursa, from Novia, from everybody here, this is the end of World Poetry with Mike Proper. We'll see you next week.